Today's scripture comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, as we are going through. Sometimes studying and restudying something we know, something we heard, can sound redundant. But I appreciate greatly, actually, because it forces me to sit and dig, not just assume what I know, but it forces me to sit through what I think I know and reread it, praying in a different perspective and light. And by the grace of God, I hope it's been apparent to you as well, but for me, the Gospels are always familiar but always new, because every time I study and do this, He takes me a little deeper into His truth, showing me ways that it is so much more. And so that's why I can preach the Gospel every year, and I know I'll get blessed because He's just going to take me that much further and deeper. And so I praise the Lord for His wonderful, wonderful, deeper ways. Today is Mark chapter 4, verse 21 to 25. Again, familiar words, but may the Lord bless us richly. He said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. Consider carefully what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have even what they have will be taken from them." Thus ends the reading of God's word. Sometimes I'm such a dumb fool because I watch TV, and some of the commercials I watch, I dislike very, very much. And I'm sitting there still watching, and I'm asking myself, why? Let me share a couple of those commercials I dislike, which I've saw recently, or last couple of months or so. One of the commercials I hate is a credit card or debit card called Chimes. The girl there says she loves it because she hates when the bank charges her for her overdraft. And the reason why she likes Chimes is because it would allow her to overdraft up to something like $200 and not be charged. To me, it sounds irresponsible and unjust, because she wants the freedom to overdraft, but do not want to pay the consequence of her failure. Another commercial I dislike is about wanting the iPhone. A man, unrelated to a child, unexpectedly crashes on a child's birthday party and loudly wishes for the iPhone and blows the candle and takes a slice of the cake. To get what he wants, he doesn't care to disrupt, to invade, to steal, and to ruin a child's birthday party. Now, we're living in a world where we celebrate selfishness even if it ruins a child's birthday party, or it encourages us to have the freedom to be irresponsible. But that's okay, because that's how Chimes works, she says. I hate that such selfish hearts are so readily encouraged, that most of us don't think much of it. In fact, sometimes we think it's catchy, it's even funny. I pray that God's word will minister to our hearts and reshape us so that we can conform after God's likeness and not follow the world's. From our passage today, I pray that we can learn three truths. First, may we learn the reason for the lamp, simple enough. But second, may we learn how measurement works. And third, may we learn about what the result of our deeds can be. And for that, I made an application to our church. So let's begin. First, let's learn the reason for the lamp. Mark 4. Verse 21 and 22, it reads, "He said to them, 'Do you bring a lamp and put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand, for whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought into the open. We are first told of where to place the lamp in our homes. Obviously, a lamp must not be placed under a bowl or a bed. Such a foolishness, isn't it? When a lamp is under a bowl or under a bed, then obviously the light from the lamp is going to be useless. Why? Because it's going to get hidden. So where we place the lamp is essential. And the placement of the lamp, we're told, is on its stand. Because this way, it will spread the light throughout the house. Now, as we place the lamp on its stand, then we're told the purpose of the light of the lamp. In Mark chapter 4, verse 22, let me reread that verse. It says, for whatever is hidden shall remain hidden. It's not what it reads, right? Whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. In other words, God gives us the light so that there should be no hiding, no concealing, no secrets to keep from others to see. You know, in our lives, there are a lot of hidden and concealing, aren't there? There are many hidden motives when we deal with people, especially in business transactions or in our relationships as well. Many times we say or do nice things, but our true intentions are kept hidden. In the Bible, in the book of Acts chapter 5, we find this couple named Ananias and Sapphira, and they kept their selfish motives hidden. When they sold their piece of property and gave very generously to the church, amazing deeds, but motives hidden. So their action was extremely generous, but their hidden motive was very selfish, as they wished for recognition rather than to generally provide for the needs of others for God's glory. Dear friends, we are children of the light, so we should live our lives brightly shining who we are. Sadly, many of us, we do not always live for God's glory. And instead of delighting to see the beauty of Christ increase, we want to shine, don't we? There's more. For the beauty of Christ's light is not only about shining in the darkness to reveal what is hidden. Sometimes that's scary, isn't it? Most of us have so many impure motives. You know, I was talking a long time ago with this wonderful pastor, really godly man, who was always so strict, and yet at the end of the night, he spent his day that night at my place, and so we talked way into the hours. And the end, early in the morning, our conclusion was, people are consistently inconsistent. That's so true. As much as I try to live consistently well, I am inconsistent. You know, there are certain things I do really well for God's glory, and yet there are certain things I'm such an ugly, foolish, sinful. Most of you are like me, aren't you? Certain things you do really well, but there are things you don't. We are consistently, I call it, inconsistent. Now, so sometimes we want to hide. We want to conceal. We want to keep secrets, because to reveal everything can be scary, right? It's exposing our weakness. But look what happens. When his light reveals our darkness, you know what happens? It's not only exposure. That's what we fear. I want you to hear this. When his light is revealed to us, it's not only exposing our ugly sinfulness. Look, his light is so radiant that it will drive away our darkness, pointing out for us that in his radiance, our darkness is covered. Hear me, please. So many people don't like Christians. So many people don't like righteous people. So many people don't like holier than thou people. Why? Because it exposes their sinfulness. Right? Cain and Abel. Why did Cain kill Abel? In the Bible, we're not told that Abel told him, "You are wrong, dear brother." But Cain felt he was wrong because he saw what Abel was doing was more righteous than him. And out of guilt, he condemned himself. And in his condemnation and anger, what does he do? He kills his brother. Murder. Out of guilt. Not for what he said, but for what he felt. Exposed. The light exposed his darkness. And he hated what he saw. And therefore, he wanted to get rid of the things that exposed his darkness. Folks, who of us have not felt that? Who of us have not experienced that struggle? We all do. I'll guarantee you, every single human being, including pastors, of which I'm the guiltiest here, we struggle with that. So exposing from the light is scary. But this is what I want you to understand. More than that, I want you to see in his radiance. Our darkness is not just simply exposed, actually is covered. You hear me? In his radiance, our darkness is covered. Let me take you to 2 Corinthians 5:21. If you know me, if you've been under our ministry, this is a scripture that is so dear that ministers to me in ways, more ways that I can count. And if you can memorize this, meditate on this, and ask prayerfully for God to reveal the truth and capture you, I do believe he will do what he's done to me and even more. So, with that heart, can we all read together? And if possible, can I encourage you, memorize this? But for now, let's read in unison, shall we? 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Yeah. It means because of Jesus' death, our darkness are forever put to death. Our darkness is not only cover, right? Remember, about the light, it first exposes our darkness, but then his radiance covers. I'm going a step further. Not only does he cover, what happens? Our darkness is replaced with Jesus' righteousness. Oh my God. The power, the freedom you can experience with this verse. I don't know how many verses like this capture my heart. Change everything the way I think and live. Our darkness is not only covered, which is amazing, huh? But replaced with Jesus' righteousness. Shocking. Utterly heavenly amazing. Have you ever seen a darkness cover any light, including the smallest of lights? Doesn't a flashlight bring light into a completely dark room that has no electricity? Doesn't a candle bring light inside of a cave for as long as the candle has its wicks? No wonder, no matter how completely the darkness is, even the smallest of lights bring in light to the darkness. God's light is always meant to overcome the darkness of evil and sin. That's why, folks, for some of you who are struggling with your sinfulness and hate yourself and therefore you hate truth, don't let the devil lie. That's who you are. By yourself, that may be true. But in Jesus, you are covered. Not only covered, transform. You don't have to be you. You can really be more like Christ. you don't come to church to worship just to sit here and just to do it. Nike has brought a terrible slogan to us. Christians don't just do it. That's not the Christian way. I'll explain it a little later. We do as Christ have us do. Can I even say this? If you've been coming to church, coming to the worship, and you're not changing, then would you slap yourself silly? Wake up. Don't do you. Don't do you. Let Christ capture you. Transform you. Wash away the ugliness, the sinfulness, the anger, the hatred, the discontent, all of those ugly things in you. Let him wash you away. But it can only come when we see Christ in his radiance. Let me proclaim to you, God's light over our sin is a fact. God's light never flickers, never becomes dim. God's light can never lose his radiance. God's light is eternal because he who knew no sin became sin for us and clothed us with his radiant righteousness. So the light of his righteousness will forever shine, will forever radiate, will forever be placed in his stand to illumine God's people. So let's remember, we are children of the light. So may our ways always shine brightly for the world to see that we are pointing them to Jesus, the light of the world. That was the lamp. Now, let's move forward. From the reason of the lamp, the first point I want to share, now let's pay attention to how the measurement in our passage works. Mark 4:24. Consider carefully what you hear, he continued. With the measure you use, you'll be measured to you. It doesn't stop there, does it? And even more. See, in the law, in the Old Testament, he uses that measurement in the front portion, right? Exodus 21:24. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. We're all familiar with this brand of justice. We get what we deserve. We reap what we sow, an eye for an eye. That's why we're so afraid sometimes. Because you know, if you get what you deserve, oh my God. Who of us will fare well? None. Let me further the bad news a little bit more before we get to the great news. Actually, did you know, when a wrongdoer is caught in his wrong, then he must receive what he intended and a bit more. Exodus 22, verse 1. Whoever steals an ox or a sheep and slaughters it and sells it must pay back. Look what follows. You stole one, so therefore you should return how many? One. Right? You stole 100, so you return 100. But that's not what he says, God's word, does it? Our mind, our logical mind, the world's laws are not always correct. God's law says different. Look what he says. Exodus 22, verse 1 again. Whoever steals an ox or a sheep or slaughters it and sells it, he must pay back 5 heads of cattle for the ox and 4 for the sheep. If you steal, you must pay back a lot more. That's why sometimes I am shocked at the punishment that some of those people in our culture, especially those who steal from retired citizens, all of their life savings, how light their punishment is. I don't get it. Oh, God, some of the laws just burns my heart. Maybe being a political science major and going to law school has something to do with that. I resonate with that. And I hate it. You know, we live in a world where people like to minimize their responsibility, even when their actions bring great and serious consequences. Let me give you a couple of examples. A person said it was meant to be a prank, which means it should produce a good laughter and no more. But what ended up was the prank went so wrong that it caused a heart attack and killed the prank person. Yet despite the death it produced, instead of owning up one's action, many people want to escape their responsibility with a simple apology. I didn't mean it. They think that's enough, even though it killed a person. They just don't match. Let me give you another. Too many athletes today, we don't have too many young boys and men in our church, but I am horrified for them because they look up to the athletes, and too many of them today break their contract they willingly sign. And their reasoning, they said they outperformed the contract they signed. And to add to this evil, the media usually defends this breach of contract as if it was the right thing to do, confusing our population, especially our children. Did you know if such reasoning is followed, I have yet to find an athlete return the money because they have underperformed their contract. Inconsistent. We Christians must take our promises, our contracts, and our words much more seriously. What we said, what we promised, what we signed, we should learn to keep through the good and including through the bad. God acts on his words. He keeps his promises. And as his people, we're called to reflect God's way. None other. Just as with our God, we must mean what we say. Yet many people in our world has this unhealthy sense of entitlement. I'm concerned that Christians are adopting such worldly standards as ours. God is clear where our steps should go and should not go. Let me give you two scriptures. Exodus 23, verse 3. Do not follow the crowd in doing wrong. You got to have discernment. Just because everyone goes, our faith is not a democracy. We are obedient to our captain alone. And if the crowd is misleading, you don't follow. Why? John 17, verse 16. They, Jesus' disciples, says, are not of the world, even as I am not of it. We are heaven's ambassadors and not citizens of this world. This is not our home country. We're not Americans or Koreans or Chinese or Mexicans or any of this nationality before we are any of that. We are heavenly citizens. And therefore, we must not adopt the worldly standard as if it was ours. In fact, the measurement we should familiarize ourselves is the way our Savior and Lord Jesus was treated in this world for who he was. You need to really pay a lot of attention right now with great humility who was following. Let me read Matthew 5, 11 and 12. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me, because of Jesus. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You know, if the world hated Jesus, why shouldn't they hate us? We're his disciples. If the world was unjust and unfair against Jesus, why shouldn't they treat us unjustly and unfairly for being Jesus' follower? Do you get discriminated unfairly at work or at school or among people because you are Christians? You get demoted instead of get promoted You get criticized instead of the compliments because you're Christians. That's how they treated Jesus. If the world insults and disrespected Jesus, why are we so hurt when people insult us and disrespect us? If the world crucified Jesus, shouldn't we be marching towards Calvary instead of pursuing the success from the world? I often wonder if I, myself, want to be treated more like Jesus, or if I would rather be treated unlike Jesus, even though I say I follow Jesus. You see, when someone disrespects me, I have this urge and a desire to hurt them back. When someone does me wrong, my heart wants to see them suffer as much as I have suffered. I wrestle with this. I want you to know, folks, I'm not standing above you and telling you what I'm not telling myself. This sermon is for me as much as it's for you. Probably more for me, because I know my struggle. I don't know how much you struggle with this, but I know I struggle a lot. But I really want to wake up from my ugly foolishness. And if you're a fool like me, then we really need to wake up. Let's not follow the worldly standard. Let's not demand better from the world, because they never did that with Jesus. Jesus is our only standard. Jesus alone is our authority. Jesus alone, I pray, we will delight to follow and joyfully obey. My prayer is that we would expect what Jesus received, no more. Delight in what Jesus received, to love what Jesus loved, and to hate what Jesus hated. The many social justice issues people pursue these days often are not the Christian way, though they do come with some benefits for us. Many people feel that they have been unfairly or unjustly treated, and they will be right. There are a lot of unfairness and injustices in our world. Therefore, many people try to seek to right the wrong. If this world is our eternal home, then yes, we should fight for these rights. But, it's a big but, God's people must remember, this is not our home. It isn't. Our citizenship is in heaven. Therefore, our lives in this world is not about how people treat us. But for God's people, we are called to follow the examples and the footsteps of our Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ. And if the people treated our Lord Jesus unfairly, unjustly, and even crucified him for doing God's will, should the Christians who walk with Jesus, should we want to be treated differently than he? Should we? Don't we want to walk in Jesus' footsteps? Wouldn't it be greater for us to be treated unfairly like Jesus than to be treated fairly and justly unlike Jesus? I have to repeat that sentence to me several times. So let me reread that sentence for you as well. Wouldn't it be greater for us to be treated unfairly like Jesus than to be treated fairly and justly unlike Jesus? Please understand, I'm not advocating masochism, because I told you I hurt easily over disrespect and insults. And as much as I hate to hurt, I also know I want to learn to love Jesus more than my pain and my hurt. I want Jesus to be the greatest reason for every single thing I do, that each of you, that all of you will do. So far more important than speaking out on political issues, which I actually have a lot of opinions on, but I usually refrain from speaking out on them, even though it matters greatly to me. And yet I do that for one reason, because I want to help you sort out the clutter and have your focus on Jesus. My intention is one, and that is to call God's people not to follow the ways of the world, rather that we should desire to follow in the footsteps of our Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ. So I say Jesus is our measurement, not the world. Jesus is our standard, not the world. Jesus is our example, not the world. Jesus is our only King, and there's no other in our lives. Let's have our eyes on Jesus and follow only Him, and not be led by the world. As we wrap up this message, I want to touch on the result of our deeds as our conclusion today. Let me take you to one more scripture, Mark 4:25. It says, whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. Dear people of God, if we learn to walk with the Lord and follow in Jesus' footsteps, then He will entrust us to walk with Him more in this world. So I wanted to apply this to our church, because I want you to be built up maturely in Jesus. But as you know, in life, creating, building good habits is essential. So it may sting a little to some, not trying to pick on anyone, but as a whole for the church, though there were many, I chose three good church habits that I believe would help build our church members more maturely for Christ's glory. Simple habits, but I hope you will do. First, the first good church habit is this: always be sure to arrive early for worship. Always be sure to arrive early for worship so that we can prepare our hearts to offer the kind of worship that God truly loves and delights. Dear brothers and sisters, good worship usually begins with prayer and preparation. If you rush in, you're rarely ever prepared. So please come early, everyone, every Sunday, and spend time in prayer and prepare your hearts to worship our awesome God well. Like I said before, let's not follow Nike's motto. Let's not just do it. Worship is not an activity we do. Let's not just do it. As God's people, we want to worship our God well for His glory. And you know what happens? When we worship our God well on the first day, on the first morning of the first week, then this beautiful worship that we offer and receive is meant to overflow into every area of our lives during the weekdays. So we will work well for His glory. We will study well for His glory. We will do family well for His glory. We will do shopping well. We will do cooking well. We will do all things well for God's glory. That's the Christian way. We Christians never just serve, never just worship, never just studies, never just praise. We do it well because our God does all things well. The second good church habit I'd like to instill in all of us is to always seek to bless in our fellowship time. Always seek to bless in our fellowship time. As we choose our seats and words to build each other more in the likeness of Jesus for the glory of God. Our fellowship time is instrumental in living out God's teaching. Let's wholeheartedly and joyfully love and serve and minister to each other in our time of fellowship so that God will receive all the glory and He will bless each other to grow more like Jesus. Let me say this. Fellowship time is not about connecting and catching up with people. those are nice, but that's not our primary focus. Our time together is to help and bless and build each other to grow and love more like Jesus. So may I lovingly remind each and every one of us, please, don't remain as you are. Don't just sit where you always sit. Don't just speak only what you always talk about. Can I encourage you? Grow out of yourself. Don't just be you. Let's look to Christ and grow more like Him and build each other to grow more like Jesus. That's Christian fellowship, to bless each other, to love, and to grow more like Jesus. That's what should be happening in our fellowship time and beyond. The third good church habit I am praying for all of us, is to always appreciate and participate. Always appreciate and participate whenever we have an opportunity to learn and to grow together more into Christ-likeness. Though short and simple, we try to provide this opportunity in our church for all of our members after our fellowship by inviting you to join us in our devotion time. And on the last Sunday, as it is today, we spend time instead in prayer, so that we can learn from one another in how we can better live out God's truth in our lives. Simple, practical suggestions, but those good habits can really build you, can really build our church. Always be sure to arrive early for worship. Always seek to bless in our fellowship time. Always appreciate and participate. So for your sake and for your blessing, can I encourage and invite all of you, please come to church early every Sunday by before 8:50. Spend time in prayer to prepare your hearts and the worship. And whenever you are able, please stay until 12 so that we can together learn and grow and love Jesus more and bless each other to grow more like Jesus. I know. When I give you practical instructions like this, it can be a little troubling, because for some who can't do that, you will have guilt. But it's not a guilt I want to impose on you. I want to help build you more like Jesus. And this is the things that I think it would help you. Good church habits builds God's people. Let's pray. Father, a lamp. We are a lamp in the world. And yet, Lord, is hiding in our closets, in our homes. It's concealed because we won't speak up. It's done in secret because, Lord, we don't want to reveal to the public when we are at work in other places that we are Christians. So we hide our identity, we put it under the bed, and the light won't shine. But Lord, hidden motives were meant to be revealed, not to expose our ugly sinfulness, but to reveal the radiance of Christ who is in us, who not only covers our sins, but drives it away. And so, Lord, you have given us a new measurement to live now, no longer following the standards of the world. But Lord Jesus, you are our model. You are our measurement. You are our standard. You are our example. You are the image. You are our love. You are what we are running for. You are the image that we want to build ourselves more into and help each other to do that in our fellowship, in our daily lives with people. So Heavenly Father, thank you for simple words, but powerful words. Deep words, like a double-edged sword. Sometimes it hurts like mad. But Lord, surgery is meant to do that. But through that painful surgery, we get healed May your words heal today your people through the surgery of your words. Thank you. Thank you for who you are, for what you do. We lift all these things in the wonderful name of Jesus, our Savior and Lord.